Hi everyone, it's Margot. I hope you're doing well. Today's episode is a bit special because I'm back for an interview with the film director, Alvin Lee. During the interview, we took the time to talk about his career and also his latest movie that is Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. That, since last year, has been screening all over the world in different festivals and has received a lot of love and praises. So yeah, I'm back for a very interesting interview as always. If you're interested about cinema, I'm pretty sure that you will get so much insight from this episode. Like always, if you want to know more about Alvin Lee, I will leave all of his information in the description box below, so don't forget to check it out. And finally, if you like this episode, like always, don't forget to like, subscribe, and also comments are always welcomed, so please let us know your thoughts about this episode. I'm quite curious about that. The interview is available on all listening platforms on my podcast, Kajoma with Margot, and also if you need the French subtitles, the episode is also available on the YouTube channel. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the introduction. So without further ado, let's get started with the interview. So maybe we can start directly with the introduction part. Maybe for the one who just discovered you, can you maybe quickly introduce yourself?
Hi everyone, I'm Alvin Lee and I'm a filmmaker from Singapore.
I discovered you a few months ago with a poster of one of your latest movies, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Mm-hmm. And immediately I felt drawn with the poster, so I was kind of interested in this movie. Mm. That's why I started to follow you, and I thought that it might be a great idea maybe to do an interview together to maybe showcase your past and latest work. So thank you first for accepting the invitation.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So maybe we can start with some general question and a basic question. Can you tell us more about why did you choose to become a film director and why the movie industry in general?
Because actually I don't have this ambition since young. It all developed in a very organic way. It all started when I was in middle school, that I really hated studying maths and English and all the academic subject. So when I went to high school, we actually can go to somewhere called polytechnic, where we get to choose what we want to major in, like the various diploma. So my first reaction was, okay, I'm not gonna do any academic subject anymore. So I was thinking, oh, there's a course called digital media. I was like, okay, so all I need to do is to watch movies, and then it will be the easiest subject ever. So that's where I actually applied for the course and I got in. And I realized that I still have to study maths and all, because there was actually programming subject and this kind of thing. But when I first encountered filming when I was in year two of my polytechnic course, and it comes very naturally, is that something that I really enjoy doing it, something that it comes very easy for me, to a point that I will tell my classmate that, okay, I will help you to write your script and draw your storyboard, but in return, you have to help me to do all the programming homework assignment. So we have a trade-off. Yeah, so it becomes like gradually, and I started. Then after high school, I need to fulfill 2 years of military service for the country. Mm-hmm. So after these 2 years of military service, I then decided to further my studies, and I went to China, to the famous Beijing Film Academy, to major in directing. And then I still continue working hard in this film industry today.
Yeah, I was surprised when I thought that you went to the Beijing Film University. Mm. It's a very, very big, big school. And I wanted to know, why did you choose Beijing Film University? Of course, it's the best one in China, with the one in Shanghai. But is there any special meaning behind the fact that you choose the Beijing Film University?
Yes. So when I was deciding where to go after my national service, because a lot of my friends actually went to the States, I went to UK to study film. And during that point of time, I was like, I'm always kind of like rebellious in a way that I want to do something different. Because nobody else in Singapore has been in the directing course in Beijing Film Academy. I was like, okay, why don't I just try and go here and apply? Then little did I know that we have to actually went through two weeks of entrance exam in Beijing, where we will have initially was 1,500 plus applicants. In the end, only 24 got selected, the whole entire cohort. So it was like an
Very
elimination.
selective.
Yeah, so it's like a Squid Game actually. So they will have started with 1,000 plus applicants, and it slowly got eliminated, eliminated, and eliminated to the number gets smaller and smaller. So, and I was born in a very traditional Chinese family. Though we are in Singapore, we have multiracial, multicultural, a diversity of culture, and with most of our, I mean, all of us speak English, but I recognize myself as a more traditional Chinese. Because my parents can only speak mainly Mandarin, so it becomes to in my root that oh, I always want to do something that is closer to the Eastern culture and the perspective.
And maybe to get to know you more, can you tell us a bit more about maybe if you have any favorite director, your favorite movies, or any inspiration that you take in your work or in your daily life?
Yes, I do have a lot of favorite films and a lot of favorite directors, just as any other filmmakers. Recently, I've been into Kurosawa all over again. I started liking Kurosawa when I was when I just first started making films, but I don't really understand his the true element of cinema, and I went to revisit his entire collection of work recently again, and I can't help but admire Seven Samurai. Again, it's truly a masterpiece, and there's so many things about the language of cinema that we can learn from that particular film, especially how he uses the camera and how he uses all the extras to form his framing and blocking. And this is truly I believe the essence of cinema. And another Japanese director that I really admired is also Ozu. Yasujirō Ozu, the Tokyo Story, Lake Spring, it touched me a lot. So much that I love these two directors so much that I actually went to visit their tomb, their grave when I was in Tokyo. Yeah. And I also like, I like Scorsese quite a bit. A Raging Bull is the first film that I watched and I was like, whoa, okay, this is cinema. Yeah, it's something that I really enjoy. It's very funny because I don't have an all-time favorite, but at different stage of my life, I will be kind of like fixated into one director that I will want to revisit that piece of work, like Abbas Kiarostami from Iran, and Terrence Malick, even like Tarkovsky, Andrei Tarkovsky, and we have Kieslowski, also all the great masters that and even Godard. So I have a lot. I can't help but name out all this master that inspired me so much. Even Ang Lee is one of my personal favorite as well.
And maybe in these recent years, do you have a favorite movie that marked you particularly?
How about I just talk about last year? It may be a little bit biased, but I can say that I'm not biased. I watch Chan Anh-Hong, The Taste of Things. I think in France it's called the Pot of Food or something. Yeah, he won the best director in Cannes this year, and I was. Why do I say that's not biased? Because I was very fortunate to be invited to Vietnam earlier this year to attend a workshop with him, directing workshop with him for 8 days. So we spent a lot of time talking and chatting with him, and it was very generous to show him. But when I watched that particular film, I watched it in a very critical state because he was teaching us so many things. I actually want to see whether the director actually practiced what he preached in a way. So I was observing and I was like, wow, okay. It's something that an aspiring director really need to watch in terms of how he utilized the language of cinema. And also recently, I also like another film also in Cannes, the Cannes last year, Wim Wenders' Perfect Days.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Yes. I just watched it recently, and I was like, it's so simple, but it's something that I think only a master can make, because something that is so simple, but it has something so much more to offer, and it touched you so deeply, just like Ozu, yeah. If you know the work of Ozu, something that is so simple. But it has so many layers and it's so deep that it really touched me in a way. So when I watch a film, I watch it most of the time with my heart. Is that if I really like it, I know that okay, I like it. Then I use logic to think, okay, why do I like it? Because I want my heart to be touched. Then I analyze it from a filmmaker point of view. So these will be the two films that I really enjoy this year.
And did you watch Monster from Korea by
Yes,
Korea?
I watched Monster from Korea. I would say I prefer his
I
earlier.
like this one.
I prefer his earlier works because I follow Gorida works quite extensively.
Oh, okay. And do you have any hobby in your free
Hobby.
time, something that you like to do apart from watching movies and filmmaking, maybe?
It's quite boring, but I like taking photos. Yeah, I'm quite an avid
Okay.
street photographer. So I would just wander around the street by myself and with my camera and just take. And it's actually a lot of time where I actually learn filmmaking because I get talk to people. I get because street photography, that's what I mainly I'll go around talking to people. Sometimes I get scolded for taking their photos. Sometimes people want to talk to me and all. It actually teach me so much more about life and human per se. So actually whatever I do, it has all linked to filmmaking. I kind of realized I was also into sports. I did martial arts for more than 10 years, and I stopped after that. And then during my casual free time, I like to watch the NBA basketball and UFC mixed martial arts. Yeah, so it's quite and F1 as well. Yeah.
Okay. And for the one who just discovered you today, how would you define your work and maybe your style?
I would like to think that I'm not mature enough to have a style. I'm
Okay.
still at a point of experimenting and trying. That's why I kind of realize, or people kind of tell me that actually all of short films feels kind of different in a way, different theme, different genre. I say yeah, because I like to experiment with new things, because I think when I'm still very young. As a filmmaker, as an artist, is where I need to really experiment and feel. I think that's important for me. So if you think there's a star, I would like to think no, because every time when I make a new film, my idea will be, okay, how can I improve from the previous film? Or how can I do something different from the previous film? So if there's only thing that is constant is probably my sensibility to emotion and to my characters. But my execution and my so-called style, to me, I just feel that it's still kind of different, or it hasn't formed a shape to something that is stylistic, unique. Yeah.
And is there any genre in particular that you're drawn to? Or do you tend for now to just try as much as you can?
Genre, no. Previously, all my films were all drama and all, like Smoke Gets In Our is a dark comedy. It's a totally different genre. But when I was making Smoke Gets In Our Eyes, it was very tough because it's actually out of my comfort zone. Because I was thinking, oh, this is something that I'm not used to. Will it be too corny? Will it be too much? But now, I would like to try more on the dark comedy side of making films because I kind of realized that actually, I'm quite good at it. And then people around the world in festivals telling me, oh, your film is quite funny and you're quite a funny person. I was like, oh, no, my film previously was all very serious. But I realized that maybe actually, this particular work, I'm actually closer to myself. Or maybe this is a style that will stay with me for a longer time. I don't know, but I would like to think that the success of this current film is luck. There's a lot to do with luck, and I'm not sure how many percentage is because of my own hard work and talent. But I would like to try again and see how far can I bring to this particular genre. Yeah.
I'm not very sure it's about luck. You deserve like the prize and stuff. It's not very about luck. I can see it. It's not very about luck. It's more about mastering your craft. And that's right, we'll talk about smoke later, but it's very funny.
Oh, is it? Yes, I would like to hear what you feel about it. Because we screened it to the French audience in Clermont-Ferrand. Yeah, a side story, I was so worried when I was in France, Clermont-Ferrand, screening it for our European premiere, because I've never screened a film in this part of the world before. And because Smoke Gazina is a story about a Chinese funeral in Singapore, it's so culturally specific to this part of my world. I was so worried how people from your part of your world is going to receive it. So after the first screening, everybody was like clapping. They were walking to me and said, "Bravo, bravo," because they can't speak English to me. They were just saying, "Bravo." There was I was like so relaxed and I was so happy because I kind of feel a little bit more confident about my work and about me as an artist. So yeah, this is a side story.
Before going to Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, maybe we can go to a time for us and Seed.
Yes.
We can go maybe chronologically.
Of course. So maybe we can start with Seed because Seed is my first film made in China.
Okay.
And my first film made in Beijing Film Academy. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So can you tell us maybe a bit more about this movie?
So this is purely an assignment. I need to make a short film in my second year of my studies. The whole curriculum was 4 years. When my professor gave us a brief to make a short film, less than 20 minutes, I was actually very nervous and all because I didn't know what I want to make or what I'm going to make because I'm a stranger to China, to Beijing, to this city because obviously I'm not born there and I have not stayed there for that long of time to know how people actually behave and how do people actually eat and how do people actually live over there. So I was thinking, how am I going to make a film like that? So I was working, so I actually went to one of my professors and said, I actually don't know how am I going to make a film because I'm a foreigner and I don't know the actual life of people over in China. How am I going to do that? And he just said to me, isn't human emotions and feelings universal regardless of where we are? So why, where do you stay? Which part of country, which part of the world are you from? So why are you afraid of it? So he kind of woke me up. So I actually went back to Singapore first for, I think it's a winter break. So I was actually looking at YouTube videos. So I actually stumbled upon a reality show about this mom who's actually coming to this show to meet a boy who has received the heart of her dead daughter. So they actually arranged, the TV studio actually arranged for this meeting. And the mom actually has a wish. And the wish is to actually hear her daughter's heart beating inside the boy's body with a stethoscope. So it progressed like this. So when the mom actually heard it for the first time, she just broke down immediately. And it was so impactful that it actually touched me a lot in that small little time frame. So I was in my room. I immediately called out to my parents who was in the living room. I said, "Hey, you guys come over here. I need you guys to watch, both of you to watch this video." So I was playing this video. I think it's less than 5 minutes. So when I turned back after the video and my mom was tearing and sobbing and all, I realized, wow, this is such a powerful thing. So I started thinking, okay, maybe I can make a story like that. And I written it based on the location of China and how it actually happens in China. Somebody from the city actually visit the village, a rural area to visit, and with the ultimate goal of hearing their dead child's heart beating in another boy's body. And where they actually kind of felt relief emotionally or even maybe spiritually after that particular day. So this is how everything comes together.
I wanted to ask something because I saw A Time For Us and Seed. I watched first Seed and then A Time For Us. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the use of music is quite different between the two movies.
Mm.
used quite a lot of music for SID, but not that much for A Time for Us. And I wanted to know, how do you approach music in your movies?
Okay, maybe I would tell you how do I approach stylistically for SID at A Time for Us. Like I mentioned earlier, okay, this is a very raw answer that I'm not going to polish it for you. So like I say, every film, I will want to try to improve on my previous film. So I actually made a film in Singapore before I went to China. So I screened it to my friends and all. They were all saying, "Wow, it's wonderful. We won some awards and all." But it looks too student in a way that it looks too art house or just very raw, not cinematically beautiful enough. So my actual challenge to make it is to make a very beautiful cinematography, beautiful film. At the same time, trying to push the emotions that generally everybody will get it. That's why it's kind of more melodramatic in a way with music and all. So when it comes to A Time for Us, people who watch see tell me, oh, it's too melodramatic, it's too a little bit over the top. I was like, okay, now I need to find a balance in between, okay, so-called very art house and melodramatic commercial. So that's where I found a balance. I tried to find the balance in between in A Time for Us. So that's the reason why the music was so much in A Time in SID, and then it becomes so bare minimum in A Time for Us. Like this is how I try to experiment stuff.
Actually, the music was well used in SID. It was like perfect, I guess, for me at least, because I'm more like, I tend to watch a lot of dramas, and the use of music is quite extensive. And for me, for SID, what well used, I thought that the music was just on point. Of course, the actors like helped to feel the emotion, but sometimes music try to help as well. And I found that the music in SID was just perfectly put in the movie. That's why I wanted to know more about A Time for Us. And we'll talk about Smoke, because you used some music in Smoke, but it's more like at the end.
Yes, correct.
Yes. Okay, that's quite interesting. And for A Time for Us, maybe can you tell us a bit more about this movie?
Yes, so when I was making A Time for Us, it's my final year project, like a graduation film for Beijing Film Academy. So actually, like I said, it's just one particular emotions that actually inspired the entire film. But for A Time for Us, it's a cumulative of a few different things, like personal experience. And then I read a news article about this Chinese hukou thing. Hukou is sort of like the residency permit and status of China, because if you are born in Beijing and you have a residency permit hukou in Beijing, you are allowed to study in the top school in China, which is mostly in Beijing or even in Shanghai. That's why the residency permit in Shanghai and Beijing are so valuable to the local. So that's why they will consider the which part of China you're from, where they could marry and all. And I read an article about somebody who actually has a sham marriage, which is a fake marriage with somebody from Beijing, but she is actually married but not registered with a child. So they say, okay, so they found somebody from Beijing and said, okay, we're going to pay you a sum of money and we're going to get you to marry with my wife as a legal husband, so that my child will have the Beijing residency status. But then the funny thing is, when the wife was in labor, the nurse was asking, hey, the fake husband to come over here, and we need you to help to take off your wife or dress or something, because it's gonna be labor or something. Then the person who was in the fake marriage was totally stunned, because are you asking me to take off the clothes of my fake wife, because we are actually not husband and wife to begin with. So I was reading, okay, this funny story, but I was quite, because in Singapore we are so small, we only have one city, we don't have anywhere else, we don't have this kind of different status in per se. So when I was reading, I was so kind of like fascinated or triggered by it, and how people were so into this kind of status, differential in status, where if you are born in different state or provinces. So it becomes how the basis of A Time for Us, where there's a fake marriage. Yeah, so it comes like that. And then we have the main character who can't speak, or who choose not to speak, per se, in the film. So it's a conscious decision, because I was thinking, am I able to make a film if there's only one character that is speaking, or am I able to express something that true with minimal dialogue? Because I was thinking there's a lot of film with a lot of dialogue, because in the East, we don't verbalize our emotions or feelings that much. Like in Japan, and it's the same thing. So sometimes an eye, a look from my mom, I'll kind of know that, okay, what she's trying to express. I know that, okay, oh crap, I'm in trouble. Yes. But are we able to do that in cinema? So I'm trying to challenge myself to do that. So I actually follow a deaf troupe performer. So they are all deaf, so they are toiling around trying to perform. I'm actually follow them for 1 month to kind of see, or how am I going to communicate with them? Do I understand what they are trying to express to me? So I know how to direct my actors when I was making this film. So this is like a personal challenge to myself. So this is how accumulative of things form A Time for Us.
It's interesting because a few weeks ago I saw a video on TikTok about the hukou and I found it very interesting. And after that, I watched a movie, so I was like, oh, it's about hukou. Oh, that's interesting because it's not something that is often shown. Or I guess a lot of people don't know about the hukou, except if you are like in China or you're close to the Chinese culture. It's not something that is commonly talked about, the hukou. So it's kind of interesting for people who are interested in Chinese culture to know more about this hukou. I wanted to ask something. I'm not sure. It's more about it was about Sid. Yeah, I wanted to ask something. I'm not sure, but I think it was dubbed in Sid. Was it dubbed?
I
The
can't
scene when they are
rem
meeting, like they are with an umbrella and they are talking to the mom, the boy mom.
I can't remember, but maybe there are a few centers of dubbing. But it's not that for the entire film. Maybe one or two centers, I really can't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But A Time for Us,
It's okay.
yes, there's quite a few dubbing.
Yeah.
Because
And why
in
did you choose the dubbing part?
No, because in Beijing Film Academy, we have different departments. We have the cinematography department, we have the sound departments and all. So for the final year project, we are working with the sound department students, and they are using our films to graduate as well. Like to do the recording, the designing, and the mixing. So for them to create the perfect soundscape for the film is going to affect how they're going to graduate. So for example, maybe some of the dialogues are not as clean as they hope to be. Like when we're doing the live recording, maybe there's a car that is passing by, so they will choose to dub over for cleaner dialogue. Yeah, so that they can mix it in sound mixing. It's a collaboration. Yeah, it's a collaborative effort. Yeah.
So, can we say that for your movies in general, you take inspiration maybe from things from either your life or maybe things that you've seen?
Yes, because for me, in my film, it's all about self-expression. It's about expressing in that stage of my life, what do I feel, or what do I hope to express in a way. Same as all kinds of arts. Art to me is expression from the artist. Yeah. So at the point of time, if I'm feeling that way, I'm feeling so deeply about this particular incident that I feel so deeply. That's why A Time for Us is sort of like a romance film in a way. Something to do with romance. I've never done this before. And then my next film is totally nothing to do with romance. Yeah. So yeah, I can't remember what state I was at when I was making A Time for Us, but I remember clearly that because there's a lot of things that I try to experiment and I try to express, so I try to combine everything together into that film.
So maybe let's go with Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Can you tell us a bit more about the movie first?
Yeah, so Smoke Gets in Your Eyes is a film made in Singapore. It revolves around a funeral director who accidentally sent the wrong body for cremation. And when he realized he has screwed up and committed this big mistake, he has to face the deceased family and try to make things work. And in the end, they decide to organize a sham funeral, a fake funeral, and then this would transpire to something bigger and bigger. And most, and when I was making this, it has a lot to do with the hypocrisy of humans, of people in funeral, or doing what. Rather to say that this film is about death, I would like to say that this film is more about life and what it means to live, and what it means to really do what we feel is right from the heart.
And how did you find the inspiration for this one?
Like I said, this one is the same because it's also a cumulative of little different moments in my life. Before I went to China, I already know that I want to make a film about funeral, about Chinese funeral, because unfortunately, I've been to quite a few. But I know that logistically, it's a little bit too big for me. A few years ago, for me during that point of my life as an artist as well, I'm not mature enough to handle such a big topic. So when I came back from China, I was like, okay, I kind of know that I'm ready. And because before when I went to China, there's one particular funeral that actually stuck with me for the longest time. It was the funeral of my father's good friend. So she's a old lady that she's very rich. So after she has settled her will, deciding what her son is gonna get the mansion, and the daughter is gonna get this and that. Her son kicked her out of her own mansion, and she has terminal throat cancer, stage 4 throat cancer. And then when she went to her daughter's house, her daughter's apartment, her daughter said, "Oh, my apartment is too small for you." So she was like being kicked here and there for the last few months of her life. Then when she passed at her funeral outside her own mansion, her children was all sobbing, crying, and I was there to witness everything because I know what happened when she was alive. I can't help but think that her children were so fake and so hypocrite, because if you really feel so sad, or even if you feel guilty, shouldn't you treat your mom better when she was still alive? What's the point of doing such a lavish grand funeral and then crying so what? But people, if people don't know, people will think that, wow, they are such Chinese. We have a term called filial piety, where we have to take care of it's our duty to take care of our parents or elderly. But those guests who attend the funeral probably think that they are such a filial children. They love their mother so much, but that's not the case. So it stick with me for the stuck with me for the longest time, and when I come back, I know that okay, I need to make something about that, because after so many years, it's still stuck with me, and it's relatable to all my friends who have been to funerals. So that's how smoke gets in your eyes, slowly come together, and then we added more and more. I added more and more stuff elements inside to make it what it is today.
And during the making, did you face any challenges while filming?
Yes, with so many challenges for making weather stuff like this, but I can't really remember any big challenges because I was enjoying myself so much. Actually, all of us were enjoying ourselves so much, and I think that's the best thing about making film, or even like production, because only when everybody is on the aligned on the same path, where all of us just want to make something good, the actors, the cinematographer, the art director, even the production assistant, all of us just want to make something good, and then it will actually reflect in the final product. I believe so. You can are able to feel the love and sincerity throughout the film, and this is to me, when people ask me this question, I would say I remember more happy stuff rather than the challenges, because to me it becomes so insignificant at the end.
Okay, and I saw that the movie is gaining quite a lot of praises over the world. So can you tell us a bit more, how do you feel about that?
Until today, I'm still so overwhelmed. Like I say, luck, luck, like as I mentioned earlier, luck. And I keep having this thinking because, like, when we talk about style at first, I was kind of thinking, maybe is this gonna be my style, or is this style more truthful to me? Because I try to make films that are so serious and emotional and all, like drama, like those past two that I've watched, but they are not nearly as successful as Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. But when I was making Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, I was so worried that it becomes so commercial, like a slapstick comedy and all. That's why I was so conscious about shooting it. When I was shooting it, I was so nervous on set. I was trying to make sure that it doesn't turn out to be a slapstick comedy. And like I said, I've never made a comedy or even dark comedy before. It becomes a real challenge. But when so the whole success that came together around the world, it gives me so much more confidence that maybe, okay, I'm right to change style. And it reminded me of a particular case study or story from a book that I read. I can't remember what's the name of the book. Maybe it's called The Creative Act or something about creative. It's about this painter, this artist, this painter who has been painting flowers her entire career. But there's hardly any success, hardly any gallery or exhibition wants to accept her painting, and her painting was rarely sold. So during one day, she was so frustrated and all, and she has a deadline to meet. And she encountered something very sad, I think. So she was just thinking, okay, how about this? I'm so frustrated. I'm just going to paint the whole canvas black and then draw some lines with some white strokes, and I'm just going to submit like that. In the end, it became her masterpiece. Exhibition starts wanting her through, and she decided, okay, and she start doing paintings with similar style. And then it becomes so successful that people want to organize a personal exhibition for her, recognizing her work. So what's the moral of the story? Maybe at the start of her career, when she was painting flowers, she was actually trying to copy other artists and not being true to herself. But when she was just trying to release everything that she knows and try to create something new, people recognize her for that and as her own style. So when we were talking about style, this story actually pops into my mind. So maybe I found my own style. I don't know. Like I say, I'm still trying to experiment. Yeah.
Do you plan maybe on making a longer version of Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
This is one of the most widely asked question.
So it's a good sign.
Yeah. For now, I would say no.
Okay.
Yes, because my reason is because I always wanted to improve and all. I know that this film is successful and there's a base there for it to be successful again. But I don't want to create, I don't want to repeat my success, or would want to repeat something that I've done before. So I try to, my next one will be something new.
It's more about, the thing is, the story is very well made and the storytelling is quite good. So that's why maybe we want to know more about the backstory of the character. I guess it's why people tend to ask you if you want to have a longer version, to know more, because we are curious about the backstory, maybe of the dad or the children. I don't know.
Maybe one day.
One day.
Yeah,
in the future.
One day in the future, yeah.
And actually, it's funny because I don't know if you know this drama. There is a Taiwanese drama called Twisted Strings, and it's a HBO drama. And it's funny because each episode is a new story in the drama. And the first episode is about a funeral, and the title is A Funeral Without a Body. And it reminded me of this episode in particular, because it's quite different, because in this episode, like, the body disappears. It's not like they change or something, but I found it quite interesting because it reminded me of this drama. And I recommend you, if you haven't watched it yet.
I just went to Google it as we speak. No, I've not.
Did you find it?
Yes, I found it, but I've not watched it before.
No, you should watch it.
Okay.
But your movie is more on the dark comedy side, whereas the Taiwanese story is more serious, but it's more like on the supernatural side of things. But it's interesting that we have more and more funeral story, and I find it very interesting because it shows a lot about the culture and the country in general, because Taiwan as well has a big culture around funerals. You should try it out. The first episode is only about the funeral.
I will go check it out. HBO,
Yeah.
yeah.
And you said that you wanted to know my opinion on the movie,
Oh,
isn't it?
yes. Why not? Yes. Please be as honest as possible. Yeah.
Maybe you feel pressured, but I feel pressured as well.
Oh, why? No.
No, actually, I was quite surprised when I watched, not surprised, but I was pleased because visually, I will start with the visual part. I like to, when I talk about something, a movie or a drama, I like to separate into parts, the visual part and the more script part, storytelling part. For the visual part, I was like very pleased because visually speaking, it's beautiful. I love it. Like the color grading is just perfect, well balanced, and I was very happy. Eye pleasing, I love it. And for the story part, I found it very funny. I really like how the movie is paced because you, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but you can see a rhythm in the movie. Like when the director of funerals tries to give some tips to the family, and right after it, you put a shot on the older sister who is crying on the phone and stuff like that. And even like when he explains, oh, you should just sigh and like just say nothing. During the movie, I was waiting for the moment when they will use these tips. I think pretty much all the viewers were waiting for this moment, and I really like the rhythm that it's made, and it's well done. Like the comedy element is where it's well done. So overall, I really like the movie. When I first saw the posters, I was immediately drawn because I love the poster, and I don't know why, but I immediately felt that the movie would be great just with the poster. I know it's weird because the poster doesn't all the time reflect the movie, but I knew that the movie would be great, and it is.
Thank you
That's
so
why I wanted the longer version.
much. Yes, the poster was designed by my sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she's a graphic designer, so she did a great job with the poster. Yeah, so in terms of the colors and all, I have to give it to my art director, my cinematographer, and my colorist. Yeah, they did a great job to try to, because in the Singapore funeral, it tends to look very flat. But so we try to find ways to incorporate more colors in it, and it really helps when our colorist is, she's from China, so she never know how a Singapore funeral looks like, so she graded it based on how she feels that it's aesthetically pleasing, because sometimes when you know how a funeral looks like, you tend to gradually grade towards that particular tone of the colors,
Yeah, I get influenced.
so. Like I say, I don't want anything to be very real or realistically accurate. Let's have a little bit of expression in what we do. So all of them deliver, and I'm very fortunate to work with them, because it's not my credit, it's all their credit. Yeah.
But the thing is, with the sorry part, it's more like even though we don't have that much backstory about the character, we still feel immediately like into the story. I really like the opening scene when the camera goes backward.
Yeah.
It's not something that you expect. It's more like you get caught off guard and you're like, oh, okay, let's see what where it gets. And that's why I think it's well choose. You did a good choice in choosing to put this scene for the opening scene. It's a good way to get the viewer or the public to see it through, I guess.
Thank you,
This
thank
is
you.
at least it's how I felt it.
Thank you. So glad to hear that. Yeah.
So I hope we will have maybe in a few years, we will have maybe a longer story with the family
Yeah,
and yeah.
yes, definitely.
I
Maybe a series, or
hope so.
like you say,
Yeah,
yeah,
series.
a mini series, yeah.
In general, how you want this movie to impact the viewer? Obviously, you said that you weren't expecting the comedy part. A lot of people told you that the movie was funny, even though you didn't want it to make it funny.
No, I wanted to make it funny. Actually, I was making fun, but let me share with you a very funny story. Because the actors, all four of them, when they watch it for the first time in our Singapore premiere, you know what's the first thing that They said to me after the screening, even the crew, they said to me, "Wow, how does it become so funny?" Because when we were acting, we didn't realize that it's so funny. I said, "What? Are you kidding me? How do you guys, you know?" I was laughing at the monitor. I know, no, because we were really treating it as a very serious drama. I said, "Yes, that's my direction to you, but you guys didn't even know that it's a dark comedy." He said, "No, but it's really a pleasant surprise." So only over then I realized that because the job of director is to really look at the big picture, because all the other roles, all the other crew, the actors are all doing their job, yeah. But only director knows how the entire thing is going to turn out. The tempo, when to shortcut, how long is it going to take here and there, every shot, what shot is it going to draw back the shot to the sh another shot. So like my brief for my actors was to is to just treat it as serious as possible, because only then the audience will find it funny and absurd, because they are not trying to be funny. They really believe that it's, and then that's where the dark comedy, the hypocrisy elements will surface, will come up. There's only three groups of people that knows the funeral is fake. The first group is the family, the three of them. The second is the funeral director. The third is the audience watching the film. Yes, because only the three of the group of people knows that inside the body does not belong there. All those people who attended the funeral as well, they all believe that, like the person who asked, why is your father ill? They really believe that they are sad and all. So I wanted to be funny, but I didn't know that it would be received that well. Let me ask you a question, Yuhui. I'm very curious because I have this a statistic. So when the two of them were crying before the marching off by the coffin, do you remember that scene? The family members. Do you find it funny or do you find it sad?
Behind the car?
Yes, even the scene
No,
before, correct?
yes.
The scene and the scene before when they were crying, yeah.
The scene when they're crying indoors, not as much as the scene outside with the car when they're crying like that behind the car. This one was very funny.
Very funny.
And then you cut the sound and we are indoor with the driver. It's very funny. This one was very funny.
Yes. Okay, you see, okay, because I went to a few festivals in Europe, Spain, France, and Portugal, and all. I was there to listen. The Europeans audience actually laugh at those scenes that I mentioned, whereas the Asian audience will all be tearing and cry. Yeah. Then I was thinking, well, this is quite interesting. So I'm trying to collect data and all, and trying to see, oh, how, why is it so? Because it can be a case study, yeah, for me in particular. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny that we react differently on certain things. But the thing when they're crying indoors, not that much, not funny that much, but really like when they are, I don't know why especially it's funny because maybe.
Because I specifically choose a sound that sounds very like a howling, like
Maybe.
yeah, we did
And but
special
the
recorder for
cuts.
that, correct? And the cuts, yeah.
Maybe it is because with the cut with the driver inside and it's silent and he looked a bit bored, not bored but very deadpan. So maybe the contrast between the two make it funny.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
know. Okay, so maybe we can go to the last part about your future projects. Do you have any project that you're working on right now or
Yes, I'm writing on my first feature film.
Okay.
So that's what I've
Oh,
been,
okay.
yes, what I've been trying to work hard on. And it's quite difficult. Because I made quite a few short films to know how short film can work in terms of the formula, or in terms of the time span of how story should form in short film. But like we know, feature is like a 90 minutes or 120 minutes duration. The story goes even longer with more cast and all. Yeah, so I'm still trying to figure and decode as I'm speaking to you. Yeah.
So, do you think you will go into shooting next year, 2025?
Maybe 2025. I can't be sure and all, because I try not to give myself too much pressure and too
Yeah.
much stress. Like there's quite a lot of people who trying to because after Smoke Success, they were all asking me, "Hey, faster, you need to come out with a feature, you need to shoot it as
Yeah,
soon as possible."
expectations.
Expectation and all. I was like, "Oh no. I'm just gonna do it my way, and I'm ready to fail." To me, I'm ready to fail my first feature because I believe that not everybody is very lucky, like Anthony, you know, Anthony Chen. Yeah, his first feature is already a successful one. Yeah, not everybody is that talented. I'm definitely not talented. I'm someone who believes in hard work more than being talented. So I try to give myself less pressure. If I fail the first one, then I will. My second one will be a better one. Yeah, my perspective is like this. So it actually gives me a lot less pressure and stress. So I can just make and express what I want.
And just about Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, the music at the end credits, can you tell us maybe the artist where it is? Is it available on Spotify?
I try to look at Spotify, but he this Taiwan singer is not on Spotify, but it's on YouTube.
Okay.
Yes, it's only on YouTube. He's a very famous Taiwan local singer.
Okay.
So yeah, and I was so lucky I was actually looking for a song because I actually had somebody to compose music, original music, but it just didn't really hit that sweet spot that I wanted to hit. So I was very dejected and was listening to YouTube, and it just autoplay to this particular so-called folk song. I was like, wow, this song is great, and the kind of lyrics, it kind of fit the first song. So I don't know him at all. I don't know personally. So I went to his Facebook page, and DM him and asked him, "Are you able to let me use this particular song?" He said, "Oh, I have a recording label and I have a management, so you need to talk to my managing company." I was like, "Oh crap," because it's gonna be so expensive, and Smoke is an independent production. How do I gonna afford that for the copyright? So he said, "Do I contacted the manager, and the manager just say, how about you just send your work in progress film over first, and we have a look, and then we can discuss about it." So I sent it to them, and a few days later, they get back to me and say, "Okay, the singer, that master singer, he's considered a maestro in a way. He enjoys the film, and he would like to support you. He likes to support young artists, young filmmakers, where regardless whether they are from Taiwan or from which part of the world." I said, "Well, that's so generous of him." Then it comes the question, but we are a management company, we are a recording label, we can't let you use it for free. How about you tell us how much your budget you have for it? I said, "Oh, it's an independent production. I don't have much money for it." And I said, "How about you tell me how much you want, and I'll try to look." And then her reply was, "If I'm going to tell you how much we want, you probably don't have the budget for it. How about you just tell us how much you have?" I said, "Really?" Then I just say the amount that I have, which is very bare minimum. And he said, "Okay, we will discuss and get back to you as soon as possible." Once she hang the call, she sent me the contract over and say, "You are able to use it." I was so fortunate, and I was trying to thank that singer personally. And for his generosity, and we have like people from other parts of the world saying that, "Oh, we don't understand this song, but it sounded so nice, it sounded so poetic, and it fits the mood very well." Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I like this song and I'm glad that you were able to get it.
Okay, thank you.
And to go back to your future project, is there any genre that you would like to explore in the future that you're interested in, apart from dark comedy?
The next one will have a little bit of elements of comedy, but it will still be a
Okay.
drama with elements of sarcastic humor. Maybe a little bit
Okay.
more brief in and out.
And in the future, maybe the next 5 years, do you have any goal that you would like to achieve? Anything in particular? It can be movie making wise or anything?
Goals, I don't have far goals. Honestly speaking, because I don't know how it will turns out. So I'm more of a present looking kind of guy, or I will only think for in 1 year term, but for next year
Okay.
is to finish my script, hopefully lock it, and to be done with all the promotion for Smoke Gas in US, because it has been more than a year. But we are very fortunate that it's still gaining tractions and in other parts of the world. So once it hit that amount of festival that I wanted to hit, then I will really stop promoting it so that I can focus on my future project. Yeah.
Now that I see that for A Time for Us and Seed were filmed in China, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes was in Singapore. Do you plan on continuing filming in Singapore, or do you plan maybe to go abroad?
I'm actually open to working abroad. So if I have a chance, I have an opportunity, I will be keen. For example, China, which I'm quite familiar with. Or even in France, if I have an opportunity. Yeah, Paris. Yeah, because I really, like I say, it's my first time to in France early this year. And I love it so much. The culture, the environment, the people, and the amount of people who respect arts and cinema is a heaven, yeah, for artists. Like Chan Anh Hong, director, keep telling me, yes, in France is a heaven for artists. That's why he's based in Paris and France, yeah.
Okay. And do you have maybe a final word for the viewers? Anything that you wish to tell them?
If you follow my work and follow my films, I hope that I will work even harder so that I won't disappoint you in my future one. If not, I hope that you'll watch more films and hopefully enjoy cinema, because it's a very special form of arts that actually brings people all around the world together. For example, me and you in France and I'm in Singapore. So I'm very curious, where do you actually found my poster for Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
I don't know. It was on my, on Instagram, you have some the
Recommend that,
feed. Yeah, recommendation feed. And because I follow quite a lot of director and I follow as well quite a lot of festivals as well. To get I try to get as much in touch as possible with everything to get to see as much movie and get in my radar as much art as possible. And I don't know, I saw the poster and immediately I clicked on it and I was like, oh, I like the overall balance. So then I saw the trailer, if I remember correctly, and I was like, oh, I like it. I have to find a way to watch it. And then I saw that it was in Clermont-Ferrand at the beginning of the year. So I
Correct.
was like, oh, I missed it, but I'm happy that you sent me the link so I was able to watch it and we could do this interview because it was very interesting. And thanks to this interview, I'm able to understand certain choices that you made and more understand more about you. I got some insight and it was very interesting. So thank you.
No worries. Thank you so much. Like you mentioned that earlier that you actually consider going to China for study. So are you actually a filmmaker, or what do you want to do
No,
currently?
I'm not a filmmaker, but I don't know if I want to be a filmmaker. It's more on the script side that I'm more interested, or maybe on the more sound side. I'm more on the analyzing side since I watch a lot of movies and dramas, and I find it very interesting. But the thing is, I'm considering it, but I'm scared at the same time because I think if I studied for 4 years, will I still love it as much than I do now? I don't know.
True.
It's something that I'm a bit scared of, actually. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. I'm checking some universities, but I don't know yet what I will do.
Yes. Hopefully you will find out your love, and our love for cinema will never diminish, because
Yeah,
like I
I
say,
hope so.
because to enjoy film is a pleasure, but sometimes to make a film is so hard. Money
Yeah,
wise and everything,
it's
yeah.
totally different.
Correct.
So thank you again for this interview. I'm very happy to have you. It
No
was so
problem. Thank you so much
interesting.
for having me. Thank you so much.
And for the one who are interested, I will leave all of your information in the description box below. So your Instagram, do you have a other type of social media?
No, I only have another Instagram page for photography and just Facebook, yeah.
Have a
So
nice
have a
day.
nice day, and thanks for waking up so early to do this call.
No, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye.